Man, I wish my kids were here to witness this obedience. Everybody just did what I said. That's so cool. Thank you so much. Before we get into God's word, I just want to share with you, if we can just rewind just back to when Catherine was talking about the weighty weightlessness of God. I'm going to share a vision with you guys that I got in the first service. So my vision was of this person that was walking around with this huge, heavy backpack on their back. They were struggling to walk. They were falling down, getting back up. And then they came up to a river. And this river represents the glory of God. And it's not a river that will overtake you or swift you away, but it's a peaceful river. And this person just stepped into the river of God's glory, and the buoyancy of the water created this light backpack that they were now carrying. And God reminded me that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So if we would come to him with confidence, knowing that he would lift every burden off our shoulders. So I just want you to keep that in mind as we go into God's word today, that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Welcome, guys. This is Grace Covenant Church. I'm JJ Sly. I am campus co-pastor of our Grace East campus, along with my wife, Becca. We'll be launching in March, so we're very, very excited about that. I have a great opportunity today to speak to you guys and continue our share series. Merle started us off a couple weeks ago and shared on redeeming our time. Catherine hit a home run last week about the truth about tithing. And today I get the opportunity to share with you about talents, using our talents for the church. I'm very excited to be here in front of you today. It's an honor and a privilege. You may hear me refer to talents as gifts, as that is our modern language. Before I get into God's word, I just want to share with you some interesting information that I found out about our physical body. It's really fascinating how God created our body and all the parts that are in it that work together so we can walk, talk, and breathe. Our liver has and performs over 500 functions for our body. Yeah, it's crazy, right? Within your body, there are over 100,000 miles of blood vessels. That can go around the world 4 times in one body. Our eyes can distinguish, you ready? 10 million different colors. The experts say that our human eye can differentiate over 500 shades of gray. Stay with me here. Your nose can tell which direction smells come from. For me, as a father of 2 boys, use your imagination. That smell is usually coming from them. Our nose creates a stronger memory in our brain than our eyes do. That's why you can smell something and your mind transports you back to when you were a kid. Like fingerprints, everybody has a unique tongue print. No 2 tongues are created alike. The police used to use tongue prints, but the ink was disgusting, so they changed back to fingerprints. Without your pinky, you lose 50% of the strength in your hand. The largest organ of our body is our skin. Did you know the strongest muscle in your body is your jaw muscle? We'll all be exercising those plenty on Thursday, right? Some parts of the body we know a lot about. Other parts of the body, not so much. But what we do know that is that every single day we need every single part of our body to do their jobs if we want to have a healthy and productive life. Though it's pretty rare that our bodies are working at 100% as we face disease, sickness, Accidents happen. Sometimes we have to adapt. As I was writing this intro, I thought about a couple friends of mine that had to learn to adapt with their body. Several months ago, Mike Souter, another pastor here, shared a message, and he talked. Y'all remember he cut his finger? He dropped a toilet lid. Yeah, he cut his finger right here on his thumb, and he had to wear a bandage. And I was like, "So, Mike, what was life like without the use of your thumb?" And he said, "This is what he said verbatim: It was like holding a frozen fish 24/7." Yeah, me too. What? Thanks, Mike. And then I thought of another friend of mine, and I want to share his story with you. He gave me permission to do this, and I'm going to read it just how he wrote it to me. After my accident, I underwent 8 surgeries, the last one being my amputation. This one affected me in ways I wasn't totally prepared for or expecting. Imagine closing your eyes and opening them up and not seeing your left foot there, but seeing a wrapped-up stump with tubes coming out of it. It takes a moment to process this sight and accept it. I think about Jeremiah 29:11. I know my plans for you. And then I wonder, how do I make this work? I'm having to learn how to do everything all over again. Especially when I fall, how do I get back up? As every part of the body is important, serving a purpose to serve the body, I was able to adapt to my new body by the support of my family, friends, and my therapist, and most importantly, God for giving me the attitude of gratitude and determination to make the best of my life situation. My great friend Ole Hatton shared this with me. He titled it, this is his title, Losing Lefty. Now, we can laugh about it now, and Ole is a great person for going with the flow and making the best out of that situation. And if you don't know him, get to know him because it's fun. But there was a time when he had to learn to adapt, and he's done a great job doing that. So I've shared with you a few functions of the body that are very fascinating and complex. This is what the Bible says. What is true about our physical body is also true about the church body. Some parts of this church are seen and known and upfront. Some parts are not seen. But every single part is critical and equal, and we are better together. Let us pray. God, I just thank you for who you are, God. I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's true. I thank you that it's sharp, that it cuts deep. I pray that I will be able to communicate your words alone today, God, that you will speak through me clearly. I pray that every heart and life that's represented here will leave different than what they came in. God, anoint your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, now, after that introduction, we can get started in getting God's word, all right? Turn in your Bibles or your electronic device. You know, the Bible is that paper thing that some people still carry. Most people just carry their iPhone. But go to Romans chapter 12. We're going to read a few scriptures to set the foundation for our message today. When you get to Romans 12, say amen. Amen. All right. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. See, the world teaches us to have a me mentality. What can I gain? How can I leverage this situation for my gain? But let God, transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. What would it look like if your thought pattern was, how can I leverage me for the gain of someone else? Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouraging others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Now, when we're talking about gifts in this scripture, we're referring to spiritual gifts. And there's a long list of spiritual gifts. I'm not going to take time to go over them one by one. You can Google them to find them. You can find them on the link to the gift test that was provided in your bulletin and sermon notes. But I do want you to know that every gift that God has given us, both in the spiritual realm and the natural realm, can be used for His glory in His church. The first point I would like to make this morning is God finds us important. We are important in His eyes. He values us so much, and He's done so much to prove that to us. His nature is to make us feel loved and valued. He cannot help it. He cannot help but to love us. He cannot help but to show value in us. Let's look at John 3:16 for an example of how much He values us. For this is how God loved the world, that's you and me. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. I don't know about you, as a parent, the very thought of having to give my son for somebody else just gives me chills up my spine. But God finds us so important that He would give His only Son so we can enter into an everlasting relationship with Him. So we can enter into a relationship that grants us the ability to gain wisdom and understanding and see life for what it is. I have a hard time letting somebody cut in front of me at the grocery store checkout line. Here God is sacrificing His Son for you and me. He values us so much. You know, another great reminder is found in Genesis chapter 1. God said, "Let's make man in our image." He values us so much that He made us like Him. He made us to be like Him. There are many parents in the room this morning. How proud were you when you recognized as your child was growing up that he or she looked like you? That's a proud moment. It's probably the very first argument that new parents have is who the child looks like. You know, I always got to chuckle when people would meet our babies for the first time and they would say, "Oh, he has your nose," or "he looks like you." They'd even say that about the 3D ultrasound. He's got your nose. I'm like, what? My nose looks like that? A smushed up, like, oh. But it does make us proud when we find out as our kids grow, they look like us. It makes me proud that my oldest son, Hudson, like, you could pick him out of a crowd of kids and know he was my kid. That makes me proud. God is so proud of us that he made each of us in His image to look like Him and to act like Him. God is so proud of you. So I pose a question for you. Are you satisfied with who you are? Many people never do anything for the kingdom. They never do anything for the kingdom because they don't like themselves. Always comparing themselves and their efforts to others. God made you unique. God made me unique. There's not another one of any of us in this world. We can try as hard as we want, but we'll never be exactly the same as somebody else. God made you unique and with a purpose. I'm guilty of this next thing. Many times we verbalize to our friends, family, or coworkers, I'm not good at anything, or I won't make a difference. I can't change anything. You know, when I that question was posed and I heard the Spirit say that, it took me to Exodus 17 when Joshua was fighting the army of Amalek. And Moses, as long as he held up his arms with his staff, the Israelites had the advantage in the war. But when his arms were tired and they fell down, the Amaleks took the advantage. But there was a solution. His good friends, Aaron and Hur, came to him, sat him down on a stone, and they held up his arms until they won the battle. This story of Moses, Aaron, and Hur is without a doubt an example of being better together. They couldn't have done it without each other. They all had an important role in this battle. The enemy will do everything he can to try to get you to believe that you don't matter, and that you're not important, and that you're not gifted, and that you're not unique, and that you won't change anything. But let me tell you that he is a liar, and he always will be. He will never tell you a true story. He will always lead you down the path to destruction. God wants you to hear this. You will make a difference. You can change things. He has set us up in his image so that we can access him in his wisdom. You are important, just like Aaron and Hur. Though we are many here at Grace, each and every one of us play a critical part to see this vision come to pass, to see thousands saved, healed, and passionately following Jesus. We are better together. So now that we know we're important, created by God in a unique way, we understand that he values us, he sees us as important. He has also placed gifts in us, which brings me to my second point. Recognize that you are gifted. Each and every one of us are gifted. Imagine this with me. You're a parent on Christmas Day. You set your presents at the feet of your kids, expecting and hoping that they would be excited and filled with joy. You watch to see that they look at them with no enthusiasm. They do not open them. They go upstairs, put them in the closet, never to touch them again. Their friends come over and ask them, "What did you get for Christmas?" "I didn't get nothing." No gifts. How would this make you feel? Angry, disappointed, sad, upset? God has placed gifts in each and every one of us in a unique way. Sometimes we never unwrap them. We never examine them. We never find out what they are. We never say thank you. We walk around moaning and groaning sometimes about how God hasn't gifted me or given me anything. But he has. Each and every one of us has gifts inside of us. In verse 4 through 6 of our text, "For we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." You might be asking yourself, how do we know what our gifts are? How do we know? There are a few questions you need to ask yourself. Ask yourself, what am I good at? We each have at least one thing that we're good at. That one thing that we do well, that when we're in a situation, somebody says, "Oh, that's Mary's job. She can do that without a doubt. She is gifted in that area." Ask yourself, what do you enjoy doing? Whatever you enjoy doing, God has gifted that to you to use for his kingdom. Do not limit what God can do with the gift that he has given you. Don't limit it. Don't put a cap on it. Don't put him in a box with that gift. Another thing we can do, we can talk to people that are closest to us and ask them. You know, a lot of the times our friends, family, or coworkers will recognize gifts in us before we do. So just ask somebody, hey, what do you think I'm good at? And finally, in the sermon notes and on your bulletin, there's a gifts test. It does not take long to complete, about 10 minutes, and it'll give you a list in order of where you're gifted in the spiritual gifts. Pretty simple, right? There are many, many, many gifted people in the Bible. And when I was thinking about somebody recognizing their gifts, there was one specific person that came to mind, and that's David. David was gifted in so many ways. He was a musician, a great leader, a great son, a great father. I mean, he was all these things. He was gifted. He was a gifted man. But I was reading the story of David and Goliath, and I thought to myself, and this is truly what I believe. I believe David understood that he had a gift of faith, that he had God on his side. He knew that God was on his side. But I don't think that he recognized that he was gifted for battle until he was before Goliath. He had to adapt. He had to dig down and find that gift that was in him. And what did he do? He overcame. He overcame his circumstance because he recognized that he was gifted. You know, I believe that sometimes we just need to take a step of faith. Sometimes we need to just take that first step. You know, we hear a lot, and I think sometimes we can think that it might be cliche, but if you take one step, God will take a million towards you. You take one step, God will come running towards you. It's true. It's so true. All we have to do is take that one step, and he'll meet us right where we are. The good news, if you take that step in this arena, inside the body of Christ, you're not doing it alone. Because we are better together. We can accomplish so much more if we're doing it together. It gives me great joy to know that I can take a step of faith, or I can try something and know that I have brothers and sisters behind me, even if I do fall, to pick me back up. But when we do succeed and we almost said it. Oh gosh, she's laughing. I see her. I just said doo-doo. I'm sorry. I can't look at my wife right now. I forget where I was going with that. Sorry. When we succeed and we do something that benefits the kingdom, it benefits us. And the same brothers and sisters that were around us are there to celebrate with us, are there to have joy with us, are there to enjoy the moment, to scream from the mountaintops how good God is. Mike quoted in a sermon over the summer. Here's what the quote says. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. We can get places fast by ourselves. But if we want to run this marathon race of life, we need people. This is like a relay race. It's not a single sprint. This is a marathon of all marathon relay race, where we're each gifted in creative ways by God that did it on purpose. And I might be running along doing the race. I might be walking in my gift, and I come up to something. I'm like, whoa, I need to pass the baton to somebody else. This is where they're gifted. That's the good thing about being together. Now that we've talked about how to discover our gifts, I want to talk about how important it is to use your gifts, because they're placed in us on purpose. The last point is, use your gift for the church. At the end of our text, it says, let us use them. Let us use them. This is our gifts for the church. We are much better together, even Each and every one has gifts that differ. God did that on purpose. You know why he did that? So we can all have a part in church. If one person was had all the gifts and nobody else, we wouldn't be doing this, right? We wouldn't need to come together as a corporate body and help each other and pray for each other and lift each other up. Where I'm weak, you are strong. Where you're weak, I am strong. This is what makes a solid foundation. And when I heard the word foundation, I thought of concrete. And just to preface, I'm not into construction, so I hope that this is true about what I'm about to say about concrete. You can, Charlie, you can send this to your dad, and you might even know the answers to these questions. Concrete is made up of gravel, sand, cement, and water. What if the gravel was missing? Would it be as strong? What if the water wasn't added? Would it mix? What if there was no sand? Would it take its form? I'm thinking no. It wouldn't be as strong. It wouldn't be as strong. It wouldn't mix, and it wouldn't take its form. I've got another quick example, too, of using gifts here. So we just experienced our first and hopefully last ice storm of the year. Can I get an amen? Amen. To those of you that still don't have power, bless you. Bless you. I hope you're finding warmth in showers somewhere. But as a parent of elementary kids, there was no school. Why are there not generators in schools? There has to be a way for our kids to go to school. But when your life tosses you lemons, you make lemonade. But in this instance, we made cookies. Close your eyes and imagine this for a moment. Myself, my wife, all three of our kids in the kitchen. It's delightful. The music's playing. And we have 50 ingredients spread out over every single countertop to make these cookies. Everything isn't always a better idea in your head or on Pinterest, but we made the best out of it. We made some great cookies. The point I'm trying to make is, all right, the 50 ingredients is probably an exaggeration, but there were several ingredients that went into making these cookies great. A little bit of vanilla, a little bit of nutmeg, a pinch of salt, 2 handfuls of chocolate chips, 4 handfuls of M&Ms. But it took every single one of these ingredients to make this really, really good cookie. And they were really good. You have an ingredient that plays a critical part into the final vision of this church, and that's to see thousands saved. We all have an ingredient to add to the mix, to the bowl, the KitchenAid mixer. The point I'm making is this: by using your gift in the church, it will accomplish more than you think. If we will just trust God, trust him that he put these gifts in us, we will witness a great revival in our community. There's no doubt in my mind that we will witness a revival in our community if we would come together and operate in the gifts that God has given us. Why should we use our gifts for the church? Number one, because God thought it was important enough to give us one, or two, or three, and he expects us to use it. Number two, we are commanded to. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, the word ministry in the Bible is not an office, but it's a function. We all function as ministers of the gospel. We're all commanded to this office, or to this function, I'm sorry. We're all commanded to this place. Each and every one of us are to use our gifts to help our friends, to help our brothers, to help our sisters. Jesus gave a great example in the parable of the talents. Look at the example the master gave. The one that utilized what they were given, what happened? They were given more. You may be asking God for more. God, give me more of you. Give me more gifts. Give me more ways. Give me more resources. And here's what God's saying to you. Steward the gift that I've given you already well, and I will do that. I've said it a few times. We have a big vision here at Grace Covenant Church to see thousands saved and healed and passionately following Jesus. That's a big vision. That's big. And we all play a critical part in that. You know, to make a Sunday morning service happen, there are so many different things, so many different people. They come in early to get this place warm. I don't know if it's the lights, but it is kind of warm up here. But we have greeters and ushers and ministry team and children's workers and worship team and people that make coffee. Yes, coffee making is a gift. There's so many things that take place, so many gifts that are activated each and every Sunday for you to come in here and experience God and to hear from Him and to be impacted by the words He shares. As we said before, we're getting ready to launch a new campus. In 118 days, we're launching Grace Covenant Church East. With this launch, we need people to activate their gifts. There's no doubt about it, no question. With this campus, it will also create some holes here at Main Campus. We need people to activate the gifts that have been placed in them. Regardless of if you stay or if you go, everyone needs to do their part and ask God what their part will be. Now, do you think we can accomplish all that God wants us to as a local body of believers if only a few of us use our gifts and abilities? Here's what I believe. I believe that if we as a body would come together and utilize the gifts that God has placed in us, this community would never be the same. It would not be the same. There would be such a shift, and the impact would be so great. Let's look at the early church in Acts. Thousands were added daily. Look at our vision. Thousands saved. We're better together. Many hands make light work. Many hands make light work. At the beginning of the message, I told you that you're important, and I hope you heard me, because you are. I told you that you're important enough for God to give His only Son for you. As I close today, I want to pray that we'll be always reminded of that truth. Can you bow your heads with me? God, I thank you for the loving, gentle reminder of how important we are to you, of how unique you've created each and every one of us. God, may it be on the forefront of our mind. May we always remember that we have purpose, that we have gifts, that we are unique. While your heads are bowed, at the beginning of the service, I shared John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And you might just be hanging right there the whole time. And that is great. I want you to know that you can enter into a relationship with him today. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to wait till next week when you get your life right. It can happen right now. If you're in here today and you want a relationship with Jesus, this God that I'm talking about, he's here ready for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to be able to pray for you and pray with you. If you're here today and you want to know Jesus, just slip up your hand. I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there another? I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there another? Just pausing for a brief moment. I don't want you to miss this opportunity to know Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can we all say a prayer together? Will y'all repeat after me? For the ones that raised their hand for salvation. Just say, "Dear Jesus, I know I am a sinner and need forgiveness. I believe you died in my place and rose from the grave to purchase me a place in heaven. Jesus, come into my life. Take control of my life. Forgive me of my sins. I place my trust in you alone for my salvation. Name. Amen. I've got two more responses I want to offer you to the ones that raised their hand. If you'll meet me right over here when I close the service, I just want to pray with you. I want to get you some information. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just meet me right over here to my left, your right. The second invitation is this. You may be sitting here wondering what your gifts are, or you may know them, but you've never used them. If that's you, will you stand with me? Will you stand with me? If you're wondering what your gifts are and how you can use them for the church. Finally, you may be sitting here and know that you're gifted, but this message touched your heart and you're ready to take a stand. Come alongside the vision of this church. If that's you, stand with me. Stand with me if you're ready to activate your gifts to see this vision come to pass. Thank you, Jesus. It's so good to look around and see how much better we are going to be together as we chase after this big vision. Before I pray and dismiss you guys, again, for those who raised their hand for salvation, please meet me over here to the left, to my left, your right. For the ministry team, come on up. For the ones that stood, that made a stand, or anybody else that needs prayer, if you need help, if you want prayer for discerning gifts, if you want prayer for whatever it may be, our ministry team is here to pray for you. It doesn't matter what the prayer request is. Just come up and get prayer if you need it. God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you sent your word to accomplish something, and it did. And we're thankful for that. And I pray as we leave here today, God, that our lives will be transformed. Our focus, our thoughts will be about you in a new way. That we will think of ourselves as important, that we will be continually reminded that we're valued. I pray that you protect everyone as they travel for Thanksgiving. Just keep your hands upon them as they celebrate and give thanks for the good things of life. I pray that there will be a lot of thanks for who you are. God, bless everyone as they go. Keep them in the hall of your hand. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Everybody have a great Sunday.